Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. I'm Allison Klein. Today, I'm joined by frequent Chip Chat guest, Dylan Larson. Welcome back, Dylan.
Thanks, Allison. Good to be here.
You know, you've been on the show over the years a number of times, and we've talked about subjects related to what we're going to be talking about today many times. But why don't you tell folks the big news from Intel today and what we announced and what it means in terms of the data center?
Sure, yeah. We are announcing the next generation 4-socket and above platform, used to be codenamed Brickland, with Ivy Bridge EX microprocessors. It's a new Xeon product line that we're bringing to market for that top of the market scalable systems, that 4-sockets, 8-socket glueless designs, and above that as well. And it's all about delivering kind of a new level of capability around massive amounts of memory capacity, massive processing capability performance, and then even new levels of reliability features to bring that kind of mission-critical capability to market.
You know, the last time you were on the show, we talked about how different workloads deliver different types of performance requirements for our platforms. And when we've talked about E7 before, we've talked about different mission-critical applications that utilize E7. But, you know, I think that when you hit that massive memory, you touched about a growing field of in-memory databases and analytics that is making this platform a very interesting proposition for enterprises. Can you talk a little bit about what are the types of applications that we see as targets for these platforms and what this means from a broader standpoint of what enterprises are trying to do in the data center?
You hit it exactly. I think one of the things that I'm most excited about with this new product is the massive memory scale that is coming with this product, going to 6 terabytes of addressable memory, kind of unlocks a whole new modality for how users will interact with this server capability. And the trend is to this world of in-memory databases. And the idea of taking a multi-terabyte data store and putting it completely in memory, backed up by some substantial computing capabilities to be able to build very responsive interactivity into the way you interact with that data. The big thing that I find most interesting is this idea of it's about querying the data in rapid succession, either through a user interacting with the data set by running a query at a command line or through an online tool, or through automated analytical processes that touch this data in ways that get you lots of answers, lots of different views of the data very, very quickly. And the idea that being able to have a system that can support a huge amount of memory kind of unlocks this potential. And I keep thinking about the way a user who would, in the past, would at the end of the quarter or whatever, would run a batch file and close the books, and that would take some elapsed period of time, could be minutes or hours. And then to this new world of in-memory, where it's all about rapid responses from these data sets through it being accessible in very, very fast memory through very, very fast processors.
So when you look at this kind of thing, and I know that these platforms are most robust, are most rugged Xeon platforms on the market, what is the process by which we architect a platform like this, bring it to market, test it, et cetera? And how does that differ from the other Xeon and Atom series of processors that we deliver to the data center?
The key element around building a design for the data center is it's got to be robust, it's got to be up, and it's got to deliver the kind of responsiveness and efficiency elements to these sort of data center deployments. In the case of E7 that we're announcing now, it is about sort of taking that to kind of the next level, sort of building this thing for a level of mission criticality through additional features, additional capabilities for this reliability, RAS capabilities called what we call RunShore technology, which is about taking a bunch of new reliability capabilities, availability capabilities, serviceability capabilities, and putting them into the design from the beginning in the way we architect the chip. And what we do is we look at where are those areas within the system that would be prone to either a lapse in data integrity or prone to a failure or a fault, and then how do you either stop those from happening or recover from them as quickly as possible. And what we do is we build a bunch of this capability into the CPU itself, into the CPU and in the memory subsystem. And then we work with our OEM customers and work on enabling those through firmware capabilities and hardware design capabilities to bring this most robust system design possible into the marketplace.
And of course, all of that culminates in the launch of the processor, which happened today, and then obviously the subsequent shipping of solutions based on that processor and optimized for that processor to end customers. When you look at the types of end customers that you think are going to take advantage of this, are there any particular vertical markets or any types of use cases that you would mention that you'd see as first movers?
Where we're seeing a lot of the pent-up demand is in that in-memory database kind of architecture that we talked about, because it is a new way of interacting with data. But it is a new software architecture that is being explored. Things like SAP HANA is one of the kind of well-known in-memory architectures. There's also architectures from IBM and Oracle and a number of other players as well. And I think that that will be one of those lead adopters of this technology as they look to putting this large memory addressability to work inside these new software capabilities. I think we're also going to see continued evolution in this migration off of RISC architectures and onto IA designs. And I think that one of the things that has been very, very compelling from the IA perspective is just the economics of the solution based on IA, where you get to substantial performance increases over time. And the performance increase we're looking at now is like over a RISC architecture up to 80% faster at much, much lower solutions cost. So you kind of see this path of continued transition to IA as the most economical solution for managing your data infrastructure. And that kind of model has been an area where I think we've seen a continued progression there. I think we're going to see even more momentum with this new product line, which will have leadership over PowerPC architectures when it launches. It'll be one of the fastest products in the planet. And so that's a pretty exciting place. I think the other area that we're looking at is this analytics process, whether it's in memory or not. It's the world of putting your data to work, I like to say, which is how do I take my data sets and gain more insight into the business decisions I make and be able to use that to automate business processes or improve the decision-making I make, whether it's reducing risk or making more money as a result of knowing how to exploit the patterns in your data for ways to unlock new value.
You mentioned something earlier about it's a new way of interacting with data. What are the types of things that this means in terms of customers' business processes? You talked a little bit about batch to real time, but how does that change decision making, do you think?
What we're finding is that there's a whole class of data science, a whole class of analysis that can be done by being able to just interact with this data in a much more fluid way. The responsiveness of having the data doesn't mean the data is simple or the data structures that make up the databases that you're trying to interact with are small. I mean, we're talking about multiple terabytes and size. So these can have very, very complex data sets, but still be able to interact with them in a way that's much more fluid. And as a result, you can almost play with the data in a way and be able to look into the data from different angles and be able to kind of understand how you could take a couple different scenarios and optimize your solution set for that target.
Well, Dylan, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and congratulations to your team and all the engineers at Intel that worked on this and worked with partners and then customers on solution optimization, test validation, and testing. Must feel like a great milestone to get this platform to market.
Absolutely. It's a remarkable achievement. We're really, really excited.
Well, thanks so much for being on the program. More information about the new E7 series of processors can be found on Intel's website and will be available on various social media channels. Thanks so much for being on today, Dylan. We want to have you back again soon.
Absolutely, Allison. Thank you.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/design/chipchat.html.